Oh, the gospel will overcome in a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
All right, Mary, going to talk about the Pope today.
Really?
Yeah, I like talking about the Pope, don't you? Not necessarily.
We'll see.
All right, well, we're going to talk about some other things, too, not just the Pope, maybe the Antichrist.
Okay.
A lot of people think the Pope is the Antichrist.
That's...
Am I saying that right? Antichrist? Antichrist? How do we say that?
I guess it really doesn't matter. Same name.
Yeah, same thing. Just want to, you know, use the term the way that most people use it.
Okay.
We'll talk about, you know, the Pope being the Antichrist in a minute, but that's not the main thrust of the conversation today. But the Pope's in the news. He's always in the news.
All right, what did he say today?
Reading something from Newser. Sounds like Bowser. Remember Bowser from Sha-na-na?
No.
Hey, my mind just works that way. I'm in the music arena. When Pope Francis first met with the newly elected president of his native Argentina in February, the Buenos Aires Herald termed their 22 minutes together as frosty.
Okay.
In other words, they didn't get along well.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know, if you're standing from a distance, the Pope looks like Frosty the Snowman. I'm sorry. Just, you know, the whole white thing. The big get-up.
Okay. Regalia.
The regalia that is a stench in the nostril of Almighty God.
No, I'll agree with that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I call him Frosty from now on. There we go.
All right.
Anyway, relations don't seem to have improved much since, with The Guardian reporting that a donation the president made to an educational foundation promoted by the Pope, an organization featuring ambassadors like George Clooney, Salma Hayek. Do you know? I don't even know who that is.
Mm-mm.
Salma Hayek. I know who George Clooney is. Richard Gere. Let's just skip past this Salma Hayek. I wonder if anybody knows who that is. I'm joking.
I'm saying we
obviously a lot of folk know who that is. Anyway. The donation was turned down with a fairly, we're going back to the frozen tundra metaphor here. It was turned down with a fairly icy postscript.
Okay.
The president earlier this month donated, listen to this, $16,666,000. That's like $1.2 million. So he donated $1.2 million
somebody donated it.
The president, the Argentine president.
Oh, donated it to the Pope.
No.
I'm confused.
You weren't listening. No, the president of Argentina made a donation to an educational foundation that the Pope promotes.
Okay.
Yes.
And Clooney...
Part of that organization. Clooney, Gere, okay. And the world famous Hayek.
Yes, okay.
So anyway, again, $1.2 million, but, you know, in Argentine money, currency, 16,666,000 pesos. In case you missed that, that's 1666600.
Okay.
All right. Now, Pope Francis instructed the charities branch in Argentina to give it back. The Guardian says that the Pope was perturbed at the donation being painted by the media as proof of warming relations between the two. That is, between the Pope and the president.
Okay.
Of Argentina. But the Guardian also reported something else. a detail from the Pope's letter by way of the local media. It says that Francis added in a postscript to the directors. You ready for this? This is a quote. I don't like the 666.
It wasn't 666, was it?
16,666,000 pesos. So 16,666,000.
But it's four sixes and a one.
Yeah, well, if you take out the commas, it is actually four sixes and a one. That is correct.
Anyway.
But the Pope says...
I don't like the sixes.
I don't like the 666.
Okay.
I don't like the peanut butter. I don't like the... I don't like the Argentines. I'm just kidding.
Well, yeah, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, what's going on between them?
Well, we're not even going to... That's a... Yes, now that's something that's worth our discussion, I suppose, to a certain degree, but not today.
Okay.
I'm just going to have a little... Well, we're going to be educational as always, but I'm going to have a little fun today, too. Well, we always have fun. I guess it's educational and fun every day.
That's true.
Yeah. Just saying. I don't care what's going on in Argentina, you know, except that I want people to be saved.
I know.
And I don't want them to suffer. They're suffering, economically over there and all the rest. I understand that. But here's the Pope. I don't like the 666. First off, I like the way he says that. You know, not just like, hey, what's up with the 666? Or why is it 666? Do you think he did it on purpose? I don't like the 666. Now, of course, we know why he would say that. You go to the book of Revelation.
He's
says
calling the Argentina president the beast.
No.
The mark of the beast. You sure that's not what he's doing?
No, that's not what he's doing. The Argentine, listen, you got to get your head around this thing. The Argentine president is the one that made the donation.
I know, that's what I'm saying. The Pope's saying
No. Right. The president made the donation, and apparently on purpose with this number, and you know, he knows that 666 is a number, a symbol that, you know, Christians sort of, you know, are repulsed by. So, you know, you wonder, he makes this donation. Did he sort of make it in this, you know, in this amount on purpose to sort of give a little dig at the Pope? And so the Pope's saying, you know, I don't like that. He's not giving the Argentine president a Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
You like that. We're going to give it a Pope. I don't like that. I don't like the 666. It's just so...
Of course, it's not 666. I don't know why he's really worried. You know,
I know.
It's 16,000.
Well, 16 million, but still.
Million, yes.
But you got to admit, there's a 666 in there. But, I mean, you're right, though. I mean, it really is kind of silly on the part of the Pope. That's part of it.
Yeah.
You know what? There's a lot of people, though. Let's move on just a little bit. That don't like the 666 regardless. I mean... Just forget people in general. I mean, the Pope. Just forget him for a moment. But think about Christians. They don't like, you know,
they're scared of it.
They're scared of it. Yeah. If there's 666 on something like their license tag, they'll turn it back in. Or if they get a 666 phone number, they'll request that it's changed. If they, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of Christians out there that are just really superstitious.
Yes.
It's not like, well, part of the problem is they're confused over what the quote-unquote mark of the beast is.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also, you know, somehow if they have 666 associated with them, that they've taken the mark of the beast, which is ridiculous. I mean, to take the mark of the beast just means you essentially deny Christ. It means you, you know, you're marked out by the beast rather than taking the mark of Christ, which is... faith in him, which is salvation. But anyway, I don't necessarily want to go down that road totally, but I'm just saying. What? Go ahead.
I was going to say, wasn't the number how he wrote out Nero's name?
Yes, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. I promise you. Yes, right. Good point. We're going to come to that. But I'm just saying, there are a lot of folk who, you know, they get the license plate, for example, and it's got the 666 on it. They send it back. They think that somehow they're taking the mark of the beast. Now, don't we need to be, I mean, there's two problems there, maybe more, but just two that are glaring. Don't we need to be a little bit more biblical than that? Don't we need to understand the scriptures a little bit more so that, you know, you're not afraid to have 666 on your license plate and somehow you're taking the mark of the beast. Don't you think Christians need to be a little more biblically literate than that?
I do, but if I had the mark, then because of the other people, I might not want the mark.
What?
I'm joking. If I got the license plate tag, I don't want to drive around and everybody think, oh, no, watch out for her. So that might be the reason I'd turn it in, but, you know.
That's okay. Hey, listen, just as a side issue,
no.
You have 666 in a very important
number. I do. That's
associated with you. I won't give it because I don't want to give out that number on the air, but it's like, the government gave it to you.
I know. I was a baby.
If anybody has the mark of the beast,
it's me.
You do. Because we know the beast is human government.
I know.
Actually, the beast is Nero and the Roman Empire, but by application today, government in general. But that's a whole nother. We're coming back to that in just a minute. But not only do you have it in a very important number issued to you by the government.
Are you going to tell them that, too?
You were born in the
really...
sixth month, June.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
You're going to tell them that.
Of the 66th year.
Now you're telling them how old I am.
Well, I know. Joking. Well, you're younger than me.
That is true. Not much.
But 666. Yes. You've got it again.
I can't believe you married me.
I know.
Now all the listeners are going to be worried about this.
I've taken the mark of the beast.
As your bride.
As my bride.
All right.
Beauty the Beast. Yeah. I'm Beauty.
All right. Now back to before everybody has a heart attack.
Saying,
says,
okay,
oh, no,
be...
I'm never listening to you again. Because there's people out there like that.
Well, I want them not to worry.
All right. Well, tell us why.
Well, hang on. I will.
Okay.
They got to be more biblically literate, number one. Number two, they got to not be superstitious. There's a lot of Christians say, well, I know it's not taking the mark of the beast, but I just don't want, you know, the 666. I'm a little leery of that. Well, why? Huh? I mean, just, you know, what if the black cat runs across the road in front of you and you don't mark it off? I mean, really?
Yeah, I don't know.
You avoid walking under ladders? Well, you might ought to avoid walking under ladders.
Say, okay,
but
that stuff's not in the Bible. 666
break
is
the
in
mirror.
The Bible.
Well, yeah, it's in the Bible, but to be superstitious about it.
I know. So you need to know.
I mean,
you believe
there are forces at work that God's not in control of, that because some numbers on your license tag or your phone number or your, I don't know, if you're born in June of 1966.
Well, I'm hanging on to the 1966. Mm-hmm. See, I'm, you know.
Yeah, I hear
like
you.
Like the 1-6.
Wonder how many Christians read their horoscope, though.
Huh.
I'm
probably
just saying,
a lot.
Yeah. So we got to get away from that.
Yeah.
Got to get away from that. Superstition is an abomination to, you know, to the Lord.
They're reading those fortune cookies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we do that for fun, huh? Really? Paul's walking around Athens though, and he comes up to the Areopagus, and he says he looks at all the idols, and he says, "I see that you're very superstitious. You got a bunch of idols around here." That's what Paul said. Let me tell you the one true and living God. His name is Jesus. Anyway, here's something also I just thought about, you know, when I was thinking of the Pope who says, I don't like the 666. You know, I'm giving the money. I'm going to give $1.2 million back. I don't like the 666. Now, I think he's giving it back because he's chapped at the president of Argentina. But he
he has everybody else's money.
Yeah. I don't know, but anyway.
I'm joking. It was an education.
Yeah, but he doesn't like the 666. It's interesting that the Pope doesn't like the 666. For a long time, most mainstream Protestants actually sort of regarded the Pope as the Antichrist.
Yeah.
The Pope himself is the Antichrist.
They do, in their confessions.
And people
of faith,
still
yeah.
do, but yeah, that's right. Their churches, all Presbyterian churches today, they still say the Pope is the Antichrist. Now, I don't know. That's another discussion for my Presbyterian brethren. I want to talk to them. Now, we're going to come to the Baptists in just a minute, okay? Hang on. We're going to give the Baptist a little ribbon as well. But, you know, in order to be a Presbyterian pastor, you have to subscribe to the Westminster Confession of Faith. Now, you can take exceptions and all that, and you sort of get a special, dare I say, dispensation from the... that's a play on words there, by the way. But anyway, from the presbytery...
You shouldn't have told them.
I know.
Let it go over to some head.
But I've never heard of any pastor getting a special dispensation or an exception to the confession with reference to the Pope, you know, being the Antichrist. Here's what Westminster says. You ready for this? There is no other head of the church but the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, true. Nor, here it is, you ready? Nor can the Pope of Rome in any sense be head thereof. True. But, ready for this? The Pope of Rome is that Antichrist, that man of sin and son of perdition that exalts himself in the church against Christ and all that is called God. Interesting. Now, I will say this. He is a man of sin, a man of sin. He is an Antichrist. There's no doubt about it.
He does exalt himself.
He is a son of perdition. He does exalt himself in the church and against Christ and against all that is called God.
But
he's not the Antichrist, huh?
I said that quietly. Never mind.
What did you say? Say it again. I didn't hear you.
I don't want to say it again. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to listen to it on the recording.
Okay, you have to, like, isolate it. And listen to it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right, I will. The 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith is essentially the same thing.
Yeah, a little more directly, I think. Isn't it?
Huh?
A little more directly.
No, it's the second. No, no. Here. Basically, it quotes the same thing, and it adds a line, something to the effect, whom the Lord shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
True that.
True that. I mean, that's a quote out of, what, 2 Thessalonians, I guess, of the man of sin. And we all know that Antichrist and all Antichrist, plural, will be destroyed with the brightness of the Lord's coming. The man of sin was, in fact, destroyed with the brightness of the Lord's coming in judgment on Jerusalem in AD 70. That's a whole other can of worms we could open up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus is coming again, the second coming, what we know as the second coming of Christ, consummation of the kingdom. He is coming again. And if there's still a pope on earth, he will be destroyed by the brightness of the Lord's coming. Just saying. Because he's an antichrist. But he doesn't like the 666. Get used to it. I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding. I shouldn't laugh. It's sad. The man's lost. He doesn't know it. Our hearts should be broken.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, there is a level at which my heart is broken because when I stop and think, and I'm not having fun like we are now, it does grieve me because we're talking about people who don't know God, people who don't honor God, a person who is going to wind up in hell. It's really... can anything be more tragic than to think that you're the vicar of Christ and you're serving Christ all your life and you find out that you don't know the Christ of the Bible?
Depart from me.
Depart from me, you doer of iniquity, I never knew. I mean, I can't even imagine it. I mean, that's the whole tragedy of being deceived. I mean, what if I'm deceived, right? I mean, obviously, I don't think I am because I don't exalt myself against God. I need a Savior. I need my sins forgiven. I need grace. I need mercy. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. So anyway, but on the other hand, when you think of all the evil that the Pope has perpetrated by sending millions and millions and millions of people to hell, it's kind of hard to, anyway, I mean, I'm not saying, oh, you deserve that. Go to hell. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm just, you gotta look at both sides of that deal though. That's all I can say.
What do you think?
The Lord will destroy his enemies. I'm not,
that is true.
You know, I'm not, you know, jumping up and down, doing a happy dance. But in the end, God will be glorified in that. I mean, that's what the Bible says. So we got to affirm that as well. That's all I'm saying. Go ahead. You want to say something. I'm not letting
you. No, the town that put the sign about Allah.
Yeah, yeah.
What would they do if they said something against the Pope? Probably not be as upset.
Oh, yeah, it would. Yeah, nobody'd be worried about that.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. Hey, we got to talk about what 666 really means.
Let's please do, since you announced my designation on the air.
Well, there are a number of scholars who have pointed this out. I can point folk to one that is particularly clear on this subject, Ken Gentry. I mean, there are others for sure. But, you know, if you think about Roman numerals, you know, Roman numerals are letters. We don't like them, but, you know, it's I and then II and three I's and then an I and a V and then five is V. You know, and you add the M and the C's and the X's, right? I mean, mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
They're letters and numbers.
Learned that way back.
Yeah. That's right. Well, the same thing is true in Greek and Hebrew. The values of letters follow the order of the alphabet, of course. And basically, in Greek and Hebrew, the letters, numbers are represented by letters just like in the Roman language. That's what I'm trying to communicate. I don't know if that makes sense. Now, I'm not going to go through the values because that would be too tedious. It would take too long, though I could do it, not from memory, but, you know, I have notes, I have resources.
Okay.
Be that as it may, when you look at the number 666 in Hebrew, see, the numbers are, and their letters are numbers. I mean, the Bible says that it's the number of a man. So here we are in Revelation. John is writing to churches, seven churches in Asia Minor, and he's trying to communicate to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is, whatever he's saying is relevant to those churches, or it wouldn't even make sense to be writing to those churches.
That's true.
We're not saying it doesn't have relevance to us. It certainly does, but it certainly has relevance to those seven churches. And he says, you know, they're being persecuted, and they're about to go through this fiery trial. A lot of them are going to be put to death. And he starts talking about the beast. And I should have opened the Revelation so that I could read it exactly. I failed to do that. But everyone knows what we're talking about. But he says the beast is, you know, the number of a man, you know, is assigned to the beast. So they would have understood that as a man who was being identified. The beast, it's symbolic. Revelation is full of symbols.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, all the symbols, you don't have to go to Greek mythology. You don't have to go to the Vietnam War, Apache helicopters. Just go to the Old Testament. If you want the key that unlocks the book of Revelation, it's the Old Testament.
That's true.
You understand the symbolism in the Old Testament, the references from Revelation to the Old Testament, then you're going to understand. Even without reading scholarly works, you're going to get 80% of Revelation. Read the scholars, and they can tell you what the symbols are. Revelation is not a difficult book to understand. Everybody says, oh, even John Calvin, oh, he didn't want to preach the Revelation. He didn't understand it. Okay, well, as long as you don't understand it, don't preach through it. First 20 years of my ministry, I wouldn't preach through it. I had an idea, but I didn't understand everything. But then you begin studying, reading, and putting things together. And over 20 years, I finally decided, you know what, I'm ready to preach the Revelation. Not that maybe I had every single line exactly right. I hope I did. I mean, I don't want to preach error. But I'm telling you, it's so simple if you understand the references right there out of the Old Testament. You can go back and you figure it out. You look at the two witnesses in Revelation. Everybody's talking about this, that, and the other. Go back to Zechariah. He tells you exactly what the two witnesses are. He tells you! Do you know that? You don't have to guess. It's not guesswork. It's called exegesis. Anyway.
All right, back to
the I didn't mean to go off on that little tangent.
Man.
Well, so they would have understood that. So here's John, his native language, Hebrew. He says the number of a man, he gets 666. And guess what? Turns out that 666 corresponds to Nero Caesar.
Good, it's not me.
It's not you. Now, a lot of folks say, well, you know, 666, you know, you can take that and it can apply to a lot of people. You know, people come up with Adolf Hitler and Ronald Reagan. I mean, unbelievable. Well, you know, the fit, as Ken Gentry says, I'm just going to quote Ken Gentry here, it must be relevant. Mm-hmm. Ronald Reagan is not relevant to the seven churches of Asia Minor.
That's true.
Nor is Adolf Hitler as bad as he was.
And he was a beast.
He was a beast. He was a beast. But John specifically declares that the events of Revelation, listen to this, this is a quote right from the Bible, must shortly take place. He says these events that I'm talking to you about must shortly take place. Now, you got to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
He also says the time is at hand. You know, when Daniel was talking about the first century, he was told to close up the book, for the time is not yet. And what did Daniel talk about? He talked about the rise of four kingdoms, and he was in the midst. The Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian, the Greek Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, and then the Roman Empire. And when the Roman Empire arrived, God was going to establish his kingdom. And that's what's happening in the first century. And that's what the New Testament is about. And so Daniel is instructed to close up the book. The time is not yet. You come to the Revelation, and John is instructed to proclaim it because the time is now. The time is at hand. You see? I'm just saying you have to deal with those issues. So, you know, that's one reason I'm not going to say the Pope is the Antichrist. I mean, that rose hundreds of years later. I'm not going to say Hitler is the Antichrist. That was thousands of years later, 2,000 years. But John, again, is writing to seven churches. These are historical churches. They're in the first century. They're undergoing these trials, as I've said. And remember, in Revelation, you know, one of the cries is, how long? The answer is just a little while longer, not much longer. And so, if you look at the setting, I'm just saying Nero Caesar's the only one that fits the historical context.
Okay.
He's persecuting the church. Time is now. These things are going to shortly take place. They did. I mean, when you lay Matthew 24 down beside Revelation, the things that happen, it's identical. You've got to do your homework, brothers and sisters. So anyway, the numerical value of Nero's name fits both the form accepted in the text, which is 666, and then there's an important variant text that people are going to cite. Excuse me, it appeared early in church history, 616. So, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on there? I mean, if you've done any kind of collation of Greek manuscripts or textual criticism, you know what we're talking about.
So I might not have the number after all.
No, it's 666 in Hebrew.
Oh, where was the 616?
Ah, the 616 fits the Latin spelling of Nero Caesar.
Okay.
And the Latin translation was a very important translation. So, anyway, I'm just saying, you got to understand what 666 is. It's Nero Caesar. It's the Roman Empire. It's human government in general. We need to proclaim the gospel and be faithful that men and women, boys and girls might be saved. Not get confused.
Analysis of news, culture,
not get off track. Stay the course, right?
Worldview.
Right.
To access
right.
archive broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.